Good afternoon. If you haven't had your lunch, thank you for sticking with me. We'll be hungry together. My name is Chris Rhodes, and this afternoon, we're going to be connecting the dots. We're going to be looking at really how we can make the most of some of the most important technologies that I touch in my job, and I'm sure many of you do as well, which is Microsoft's Azure services, Intune, Office 365, and finally, Windows 10. So just a quick word of myself. I'm Chris. I work for a company called IT Masterclasses. We deliver IT training in the UK. And I'm a Microsoft certified trainer. I've been doing that job for about 20 years. So teaching people technology is kind of what I do for a living. And I've also been fortunate to be awarded the MVP award for the last few years as well in the Windows category. So what we're going to have a look at today is, first of all, a bit of a recap on some of those technology pillars that we've called out, and specifically look at where cloud integration fits into those. Then we'll have a look at the links between the products, and the whole point to this talk is to partially to expose those links and help you exploit those links back at the office. So that's kind of where you should be thinking about takeaways from this session. So we'll try and put it all together for you at the end, try and make sense of everything that we've seen. So we'll start by looking at these technology areas, Windows 10, Azure, Intune, and Office 365. Have a quick recap over them. We won't spend a huge amount of time on them, but I do want to draw to your attention some of the areas that I think are important to call out that have cloud-related technologies, cloud-related features that your users and yourselves as IT professionals can leverage. So let's start with Windows 10. There's a lot of features that you probably hear about quite regularly with Windows 10 that integrate with the cloud. So Microsoft account integration, for example. We can have our users sign into their PCs with a domain account and a Microsoft account in order to access services like the store. So roughly how many of you, put your hands up, how many people have that experience or users that do that at work, logging in with Microsoft accounts? A few, okay, about 20%. That's pretty good. So I personally like that feature. I think that's great. I have my settings synchronized through that. So I use several computers that run Windows 10. I get a very seamless experience with things like Wi-Fi passwords being cached across that and settings that I have roaming around between my devices. I find that quite useful as a productivity feature. I use OneDrive extensively to save my documents and to access those from, again, all my devices. So that's pretty good. But today, we're not so interested in those. We're interested in more business-orientated features, I guess, not so much the end-user experience. So you guys are probably learning more this week about things like Windows Update for Business, Windows Store for Business. Some of those integration capabilities are things that you can use back at work to get them to get more out of Windows 10. So is anybody using Windows Update for Business? Not yet, okay. Azure, how many people are using Azure today? Hands up. Okay, about 75%, good for you. So there are a million and one things that we can do in Azure. I'm not gonna call all of those out. But again, let's pinpoint a few things that are of interest to us in this session. Being able to do an Azure Active Directory domain join for starters, and we'll have a look at that in a few minutes. We'll do a demo of that one. Performing device enrollment. You know, these days, a lot of times we have computers out in the field. They're not desktop computers in the office anymore. Some computers are out in the field. So being able to attach those and to be able to control them is of interest, I think, to IT pros. User account single sign-on. We can use Azure Active Directory accounts to sign on to numerous services, and we're calling out Office 365 here as a prime candidate for that. And again, we'll take some time to look at that as we go through as well. Multi-factor authentication. Anybody interested in MFA, multi-factor authentication today? Okay, quite a lot of you, about a third of you. Okay, that's good. This is an area that I'm seeing customers asking for more and more. The companies want to secure their data, secure their application access, and this is something that Azure can bring to the table for us without too much stress. Something we can also do in Azure now is actually deploy Windows 10 virtual machines, infrastructure as a service. I'm not really going to demo that one, but that's something to have a play with. You can actually deploy your own custom Windows 10 images or pick one from the store in the gallery there. What about Intune? I'm interested to see how many of you use Intune here, because I'm a big fan of this. I've used it from the word go. Okay, at least half. That's brilliant. I think this is a fantastic service. Those that aren't using it, I want you to have a look at this today and see how it all works. But this has evolved quite substantially. Even if you did look at this a while ago, maybe you did a trial of it a couple of years ago, or even a year ago, you're going to find this has changed quite a lot. So I'm going to show you a few areas in there today that might make you stop and think, actually, yeah, we could use this. This is a pretty good feature. So I'm calling out a couple of things here. Mobile device management, you can use it for that, which is powerful itself. And or you can use it to manage computers by installing the agent. So we can look at hardware, software inventory of computers. We can use it for application deployment. We can send configuration policies to those machines as well. So you've got a really good level of control over those Windows 10 devices. And we can also use endpoint protection. This is a worry for computers, for people that manage computers out in the field, because they don't truly know the state of malware, antivirus on those computers when people are away from the office. And that's also usually where the most risk occurs as well. And the final one of our four is Office 365. Now, of course, everything Office 365 is cloud orientated, but where does that fit into our story today? Well, of course, we want to access email, SharePoint, Skype for Business, all those kinds of applications. Now, we might be installing those as 32-bit, 64-bit applications on our Windows 10 PCs. That's predominantly how I consume my Office 365 applications, but actually Office web apps as well. I use that about a third of my time, too. Great set of capabilities. So where does that fit in? Well, we're going to be authenticating to those applications, to our data stores that live behind those applications. And how are we going to be doing that? Well, we're going to be using user accounts, of course. Those might well be natively Azure Active Directory user accounts. They could be federated accounts. Maybe your users prefer to log on to their devices with their domain accounts and have you do the federation for them so that they can have a single sign-on experience across their domain resources and their cloud applications and data as well. We'll be talking to that a little bit later on as well. And finally, just a small mention, there are some native applications already in Windows 10 out of the box that you can just get going and use. So I've mentioned Mail there, for example. You can just connect that up to Office 365 accounts or any number of other accounts as well. So that was a quick recap. Hopefully you knew most of that. What we're going to do now, though, is start exploring the connections. So what I've called here connecting the dots. We have our four technology areas. On their own, great. But let's start exploring the links between them a little bit more and see how we can benefit as a company here. So let's have a look, first of all, at one of the things I mentioned, which is joining Windows 10 to Azure. I'm just curious, has anybody done this so far? We've had this feature now for about a year, I think. But it's still quite, okay, that's good. So maybe about 15 to 20% of folks have tried that. That's great. So one of the benefits here is you don't need to be tied to an on-premises infrastructure. I find that quite liberating, actually. My company is a relatively small company. We've only been going in business a couple of years. We actually took a conscious decision not to build infrastructure, to not actually have an office. And if you attended my session earlier in the week where I elaborated on this, this is actually quite a liberating experience, and I was actually encouraging folks earlier in the week to think about going the other way. And if you have on-premises infrastructure, consider maybe getting rid of it. Sounds quite radical, but is that possible? Well, I think so. And I think that joining Windows 10 to the Azure Active Directory might be a viable alternative. It's not the same as a domain join, but the feature set is pretty similar, and it depends on what you want out of this. If you want to be able to manage the device, manage the user authentication, maybe even give them self-service password reset as well, then this is not a bad idea. So you don't lose control. The users get benefits. They get single sign-on. There's lots of features we've already called out today, such as Office 365, such as the Windows Store for Business, that require Azure Active Directory accounts. So why don't we go with that, not just for the user side of things, but actually for the computer as well? And actually, this touches several different scenarios. Choose your own device. We've all heard of bring your own device, and we can certainly incorporate that, but choose your own device is something that I'm seeing a lot more of. My customers now are saying, We want to be able to pick our own device. I don't want that laptop that you're specking up for me. I just don't like that brand. I want to pick, give me the budget, and I'll spend that same money on something I prefer to use that feels nicer for me. So choose your own device is something that you're providing for the user, but you can have that connected to Azure AD as well. It could be bring your own device also, pretty much the same scenario, in fact. I've put down here that MDM is optional, so let's just take a second to think about what that means. MDM is mobile device management. Windows 10 has this built in. We have this on mobile devices like phones, smartphones these days. Maybe you've got experience with that. But this is actually natively built into the Windows 10 operating system. So we can actually connect Windows 10 without any extra software to an MDM authority. So I want to talk more about that as we go through. That's optional. We don't have to do that, but there are benefits. And again, I'm thinking for you folks as IT professionals, what do you want to get out of this? And the final one is a work device. A work device that's domain joined, if we can elaborate on that. The majority of PCs that I'm still using here, and the customers that I work with, they still have domain join as the default option. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to knock that at all. Could we still leverage that and have connections with Azure as well? Yes, you can. So we can leverage single sign-on capability there because our domain-based computers might still be consuming cloud-based services. That might just be Office 365, for example. Often we want a simplified user experience. So you can do that through single sign-on. If you're going to give them, for example, an Exchange Online mailbox or SharePoint Online space to work with, they have to authenticate to that. Now, is that going to be with two accounts, or is that going to be with one? So that's something you guys need to think about. And for many of you here, building out the infrastructure and configuring federation might actually be the most sensible way to go there. Although that involves a little bit more work for you, it makes the user experience so much more pleasant. They only have one set of credentials to remember, and it's seamless for them. So let's take a look at that Azure Active Directory domain join just for a second, because this is a feature that actually doesn't require that much work to enable and that gives you some immediate benefits. Now, at this time, the Active Directory parts of Azure are changing. I use Azure quite frequently, so I actually use a mixture of the new portal plus the classic portal. And at this moment in time, and if you're watching this back in 2 months, this could all be different. But at this moment in time, you have to go to the classic portal to enable these settings. Otherwise, I would be showing you a more up-to-date version of the portal. So here I've taken a screenshot of a directory. If you go into Azure, you go into the Active Directory area, you can create directories. You can have multiple Active Directories inside of Azure. In fact, you can see I've got two on this screen right now. And if we go into the devices area in there, we can choose whether or not we want people to be able to join their devices. You can restrict it, but I've set this one to be fairly open so that anybody can do that. Anybody with an Azure Active Directory account in that directory can join their device to this, and it's end user driven. We don't have to have IT do that for them. We don't need to have the laptop brought back into the office. We can just pretty much do that through native tools. Okay. So why do this again? Let's just remind ourselves, single sign-on. Minimizing the impact on the end user, and ultimately device management for you folks as well. Okay, let's have a look. We're gonna try this out. So in this demo, what we're gonna do then is see how we can do an Azure Active Directory join. But before we do I have it open? Let's see. I was going to show you the settings. So we'll come back to that. Let's just join it, and then we'll come back to the settings. So in the settings app, if you do a keyword search for join, it'll usually bring you up this part of the settings app. And I'm not actually going to connect to work or school. What I'm actually going to do is press the connect button, but choose the option to join this to Azure Active Directory. It's kind of hidden away down the bottom. But I'm going to select that one and use my corporate credentials to connect. So this is my Azure Active Directory account I'm joining with. Fingers crossed. Okay. So it's saying to us here, look, do you trust this? Is this your organization? We're going to make some changes to your computer. Is this okay to do that? We may be sending down policies to your device. We may be making changes to your device. So we're consciously opting into this. We don't know exactly what those might be, and those might not even be defined yet. We might define those 6 months down the line. But the user is being made aware, look, you're going to be attaching this device. And this could be a BYOD, CYOD scenario that we talked about before. Let's go ahead and do it. It shouldn't take too long. That's it. All done. You're now connected to your company network. And it says, look, if you're ready to use this now, you can actually start signing in with this as well. Because right now, up until now, I've been signing in with a different account. But I can change my sign-in account. I was previously using a Microsoft account to sign into this PC. I could now use that Azure AD credential to sign in instead. And still have the Microsoft account in the background as well. So that's not too painful. No reboot required. We're connected. Let's see if we can get the Azure portal back up. And we can see where we would manage that. So as I say, even if you do have the new portal in use, you're still going to have to go through here and find the old one, I'm afraid. Not that button, Chris. Where are we? In the wrong screen. Okay, I've forgotten where it is. We'll leave it. But we can set it in there. We have it on the screenshot because I knew I'd be bad with my memory. Okay. We can have it on here where we can specify who can do this. You can restrict it. It doesn't have to be open-ended. I've allowed all of my users to join Azure Active Directory on their devices, but you can limit that down. So next up, let's take a look at Intune. I could spend all afternoon on this. It's a massive piece of technology. I'm very passionate about it, but I'm going to try and keep it brief. And again, sticking to the theme of the session here, try and think about where does Windows 10 integrate here? What are the hooks for you guys to take away back to the office? So we can do one of a few things. We can use Intune as an MDM authority. So we can actually connect our devices, and again, we talked about this. We can have the device connect up and use Intune as the mobile device management authority and start controlling that device. That even gives us the capability to do things like partial device wipe as well and present company portal information to users so they can find applications that we want them to have. The way I prefer to use it myself is to install the Intune client on my Windows 10 PCs because I believe that gives me the richest set of features. I'm going to have a look at those in just a second. One thing I want to leave you with at the end, and I'll talk about this again, is the Enterprise Mobility Suite. So I just want a quick show of hands. Who's using Enterprise Mobility Suite, or is it evaluating it? Oh, quite a lot, about 40% of you. Well done. That's pretty good. That's higher than I thought. Enterprise Mobility Suite gives us several things in a package. It gives us Azure Active Directory Premium. It gives us Intune. And it gives us some information protection, which we'll talk about in a short while. You don't have to use EMS. EMS contains a superset of features. One of those individual parts is Intune, but you can just use Intune on its own. And we're also going to see a little bit of Office 365 integration with this as well. This ties back to Azure when we're managing this. we're managing this using Azure Active Directory accounts again. That is the power behind Intune, is Azure again. So again, we're seeing those connections come through once more. Okay, so let's have a look at Intune. So let me explain what I've done here. I've created an Intune subscription. You can do this on a 30-day trial for no cost, so you can play around with this to your heart's content. And at the moment, it looks kind of empty because I've only just set it up. But what I'm going to show you here is how we get computers enrolled into this, how we can start managing them, and some of that richness that we talked about for managing the PCs. So one of the first things I did when I set this up is I went and downloaded the client software. Now, we have to distribute that to our PCs. How you do that is up to you. You could email that package out to people. It's a relatively small zip file, about 12 megabytes. You can install it as part of an image if you're deploying images with, let's say, System Center Configuration Manager, or you're deploying images with WDS. You can roll that out as part of it, or you can just install it separately. How you get that agent onto the PC is up to you. Several choices. Come and speak to me at the end if you want to know more. What I do is I download the software. And the software itself is fairly generic. It's the same for all companies, in fact. But what you get alongside that is a certificate. And that certificate is unique to your tenant. And that's what installs onto your PC that aligns that particular computer to your subscription. Because with Intune, there are millions of computers up in that cloud. But you're only seeing your tenancy, of course. So I went and downloaded that. I put that software onto this Windows 10 device. OK, it's a virtual machine. But that device now is enrolled with Intune. It doesn't need to be domain joined. It's just a plain vanilla Windows 10 machine. OK, it was freshly installed, nothing else on there. I just put that Intune agent on only. And after a few minutes, after about 10 or 15 minutes of installing it, in the background, what happens is it loads a bunch of software on there. It loads on the endpoint protection software for anti-malware. It also gives me this little utility that kind of lets me know that it's done, called the Intune Center. So now that I know that's there, we should be able to see that computer show up in the Intune management area. So at this point, it's my first device. It's going to go into the all computers container. We can see here on the right, number of devices, one. So it's a little bit on its own, I'm afraid, at the moment. It's got no friends. But we can already start to drill down on that computer from a management perspective and find out information about that. So we can get hardware, we can get software information. And all I've literally done is just install the agent, okay? Sit back and wait about 20 minutes, and already the information is going to start to shine through. So we can see the kind of hardware that we have, how much RAM, what kind of CPU it is, what kind of version of Windows we're running, the hard drives, pretty much the kind of things you need to know from a support perspective. We can also enumerate software on that device as well. So we're not doing much with that except for just receiving information at this point. It's uploading this telemetry information back up to Intune in the cloud so we can start to see that. And where things get interesting is where we want to start managing that device. One of the things that's pretty close to my heart, I've done a lot of work with recently, is managing updates. So do I want to manage updates to these devices? Of course. This is a cloud-based PC. Now, I could have the computer just connect up to Microsoft Update and get its updates through there. That's fine. But the fact is, now that it's actually enrolled into Intune, we've got a lot more fine-grained management of updates. So we can decide what kind of updates to deploy, when to deploy them, and also to which groups of computers. Okay, let's have a look. We're not going to deploy all of these, but here's a particular update. We're just picking at random here. We could check it out and view whether it's what the severity of it is, if it's something we want to deploy. But in this case, I'm just going to approve it. One of the great things about this is you can manage computers at scale here and build them into groups. So you saw earlier on that computer was just a member of all computers, but you can make your own computer groups in here too.
So let's deploy that out, approve it as a required install, and you can set a deadline on it as well if you want to. So let's do that. And off it goes. So within a short space of time, our computer will start receiving that down, process that, and abide by the rules that we've given it. Now, of course, you don't want to do that update by update, so ultimately you want to start building out rules around how updates work. So you can automatically approve certain update types and say, yeah, always get those out there, automatically approve them to the following groups. So you shouldn't be doing it update by update because you'll be there all day. Now, it's too early to see this yet, but ultimately we want to check on the progress of that, and we can see all this back up in the cloud console. So we can see the overall status per update, per computer. So let's have a look at the update reports. We're not expecting to see too much right now because we've only just approved it. But given a few minutes, given a few hours, once it's installed the update, once it's reported back in as well, we'll start to get that through. So you have to appreciate there is a bit of a time lag here, because just because I've set the instruction to the computer to go and do it doesn't necessarily mean it's A, done it, or B, reported that fact back. So we're rushing it a little bit, but we'll be able to see the status of those updates from a compliance perspective. So I kind of like that feature. And one of the things that I also find pretty cool here is software, the ability to add applications and deploy those as well. And here's where Azure comes into play once more. If I want to deploy an application out to my devices in the field, I click on Add App. I get a little application here to run, which will help me to upload software packages that I have into Azure Storage, okay? So we're actually gonna be using Azure Blob Storage to contain that file. It's usually like an MSI file, for example. We're actually gonna upload that to the cloud. So you'll point to your application that you've got somewhere on your hard drive, upload it into there, and then once it's in there, again, you can deploy out those applications in a similar way to how you manage the updates. So do I need any on-premises infrastructure? We're already seeing here, hopefully, that we're replacing WSUS on the network. We're possibly replacing Active Directory on the network, on the on-premises network. We're also perhaps replacing tools like Configuration Manager to some extent here for managing applications and viewing the reports on that information as well. Now, we don't have to abandon all of them, but we've got a very credible alternative to those on-premises systems. And all we did was install the agent on the client PC. We could spend all day on Intune, but we're going to move on. So Office 365 next. I'm going to ask for a hands up here, but I think I know which way this is going to go. Who's using Office 365? Yep, I thought so. Pretty much everybody. Should have asked it the other way around. Okay, good. So Office 365 is fantastic on its own. I've been using that for many, many years. But again, let's explore some of these links here and try and join things together. We already mentioned that Office 365 can link in with some of your default applications on the PC. So if you don't want to install the Office apps, you can use Mail app and so forth. That's okay. But where it starts to get interesting for me, from an enterprise perspective, is where we start to look at information governance. And this is where I would encourage you to have a look at EMS. Because what we have now is Azure Information Protection that we can utilize to protect our information, to protect our documents and our emails that we're accessing, that we're saving in Office 365. So does anybody have any experience with Active Directory Rights Management Services, ADRMS, on-premises? A few? Okay, about 5-10%. This is in effect a cloud-based version of that that links in with Office 365. So again, you've got the Azure link to Office 365 and then Office 365 to the Windows PC here. You don't need any on-premises infrastructure at all. It's 100% a cloud-based service that works with your Office 365 users and the data that they use. So why do you want to do this? Well, this is all about protecting information. And a lot of companies traditionally have said, we cannot go cloud. And many of you might have said this before now as well. I know I did a few years ago. I can't go cloud because I can't put my data in the cloud. And so some of those initial fears that we all had about using cloud a few years ago, some of those have been allayed, I guess. But still people say, well, I can't. It's out of my control. How do I know how that's being consumed? Somebody could open an email, they could send it to somebody else, or they could have a document on SharePoint. And that document from SharePoint could leak to somebody else's computer if somebody's careless enough. So what we're trying to do with this one is think about how do we protect that data wherever it resides. So this is integrated into our backend Office 365 services. So we can protect the information at rest, in transit, wherever the user happens to have that. So it's in effect, like I said, it's kind of like a cloud-based version of RMS if you ever came across that before. And the good news is we've got native support in Windows 10. So we don't need to enable anything special for that on the PC. We can start leveraging that straight away. We just need to unlock that feature in the cloud, if you will, to start leveraging that. So it's, again, tying together three of our four components. We've got Office 365, we've got Azure working on this, and we've got Windows 10 plugging into that. So these hooks are available, but are we all using that? That's the question. So we'll talk more about that one in a short while. Something that I'm finding is getting a lot of interest at the moment, and I asked about this earlier, was multi-factor authentication. This seemed like a very hard thing to implement a few years ago. I certainly set up a few different types of this over the years with things like smart cards. So the technology for multi-factor authentication has been around for a few years, but I've noticed in the last 12 to 18 months a big upturn in interest because we're now looking at securing access to our cloud-based data. So if you're getting any pushback from your boss or from somebody in security saying, it's not good enough just to have a username and password, that can be duplicated. People can watch you typing that. Maybe some of you are sat here on your computers right now. Somebody could be looking over your shoulder and watching you type your password in. I hope you're not. What's to protect me against that? If I've got my assets in the cloud, I want to strengthen the access to those resources. So this is another piece of that armor, just like information protection. If we can secure the access to the service in the first place, and as we just said a few moments ago, secure the data itself, we've actually got quite a nice package there, I think. So this is not going to solve everything in one go, but it's part of a solution where we're going to try and tie together several things. So this one is actually quite easy-ish to set up. You don't require any infrastructure. What you do require, though, is some Office users. You need some Azure Active Directory users, to put it the other way. And what you can do here is you can go find your users in the Office 365 portal. You can actually do this in Azure AD portal as well. But this screenshot is taken from the Office 365 admin portal. You go in to find your users. You can either bulk select users. You can even upload a CSV file of users if you want to. Or if it's a small number of users like I have, just tick the boxes for each person. Set up Azure MFA. Okay. And away you go. So you do need Azure Active Directory Premium for leveraging this, which you'll get if you've got EMS. So again, that's a good kind of better together story for why you'd want to use EMS in the first place. Why is that good? This is good because it gives us two methods of authenticating the user's connection. We can have them have a text, a phone call, or a pop-up on their application on their phone as a secondary form of verification of the user. So we're not just relying on a username and password. We still use it, but that's only getting us through the first hurdle. The second hurdle of MFA also needs to be gone through as well. And that's going to give us secure access to our Office applications. And I think this gives us a good level of what I would regard as enterprise-level security, something that you would want to have perhaps on your own network, but either didn't know how, or perhaps you were looking at what's required for this. So as long as users have smartphones and you've got those Azure AD accounts, we can start to use that pretty quickly. So exploiting the links. This is where you have to sit and think a little bit about the areas that we've talked about and try out the different dependencies. We've looked at individual silos of technology here, but let's call out a few of those links for you to go and try. The account integration. Intune works with Azure Active Directory. Office 365 uses Azure Active Directory. If you don't know that area too well, start brushing up on it. Get an Azure trial. Have a look at creating Azure Active Directory domains in there. You can even pull in your own custom domain names, as I've done, so you don't have to use a something.onmicrosoft.com address. You can make it more user-friendly. So that's something I would definitely encourage you to do, because then you can make it look very, very familiar to the users. They can sign into Azure Active Directory with their corporate email address format for their identity. And people like that. That simplifies it a little bit for the end user. Something I haven't shown you, but something I would also ask you to have a look at here is utilizing Azure for MDM management. We've got that facility in Azure on its own. You don't have to use Intune. So you've got a couple of choices here if you want to go down the MDM route. So that's just to make that clear, that's not installing the Intune agent. We just want to bolt the native feature of Windows 10 MDM up to the cloud. So we can do that in a couple of technologies. We've mentioned it through Intune, but we can do that natively in Azure as well. So you've got a couple of choices about how you're going to do that. Evaluate both. One requires an Intune subscription, the other one doesn't, of course. One just requires a basic Azure Active Directory. So if you want to reduce cost but still want the management, the Azure MDM would be the way to go. If you're going to have the Intune subscription anyway, then I would go that route because you actually have, I think, a lot more in terms of features there. We've talked about Windows integration with Office. And for many of us, I think exploring it to another level to look at the identity protection side of things that we've talked about, both for user authentication, but for data protection, is something that I think we could all probably look at. I don't think many of us here are probably exploiting that to the full potential. But that's something that I would say in the last 12 months, I'm getting asked a lot more about. People wanting to kind of accept that idea of, yeah, let's go to the cloud, but yeah, still got that sticking point of information security. That could be that last hurdle overcome for you guys. Single sign-on. We've mentioned that a few times in this session, but that's something I sort of feel quite passionately about because I'm all about trying to make the end user experience as simple as possible. So that could be signing onto the Windows 10 PC through the Azure domain join that we did and leveraging that. So, you know, we saw my computer got enrolled into Azure Active Directory. I can log into my PC with that credential to make it smoother for accessing my applications. But the thing that will take a little bit more effort is that federation that we talked about. And that's a bit beyond the scope of this session to go into, but I want to talk about it a little bit because I think it's worth exploring. Hands up who set up federation, ADFS? Oh, wow, loads of you. You are the clued up people here. I'm impressed. Usually there's like about four hands. So federation is tough to set up, but I think it's worth it. It depends on your user base. There's no kind of defined line here about when should you go for it, when should you not. But generally speaking, if you've got a small company, let's say you've got 25 users, you probably wouldn't set up federation. A, you probably haven't got the kit, and B, it's probably not worth it because you've only got such a small amount of users. But let's times that by 10. Let's say you've got 250 users or 1,000 users. Then you're definitely into the realms of where I think federation comes in to pay itself back for the time that you're going to put in and the effort you're going to put in building it. So you'll set up ADFS on your network so that you can federate your user accounts up with the cloud. And actually, the services that we've talked about have some very good, not just documentation, but information on the portals themselves for how you do this. It's not as scary as you think. If you ever set up ADFS version 1, that was pretty tough. But they've actually made it a lot simpler, easier to walk through. So you don't have to go for the full-on federation. You can go with the Azure AD Connect and synchronize your user account information between the cloud and your on-premises network. That's a really good halfway house, great for hybrid situations. But if you're going to go the whole way, then set up the federation. I'm happy to talk to you individually about that later if you want to ask me questions. Now, when I put this idea together for this talk some months ago, I forget when it was, I was already a big fan of these things. Nothing really changed from my perspective over the last couple of months. But who heard about this week? New feature? This is a new offering, I guess you could say, from Microsoft. The Secure Productive Enterprise. Who's heard of that? I'm just going to bring it up on here. Because it's almost as if the top people at Microsoft read my mind. I like to think they had a look at my session title and thought, hey, he's onto something there. We could do something with this. I'm not going to take credit for that, really. But I want to point this out. Has anyone heard of this? It was kind of announced this week. But I know you guys have been flooded with sessions and information, and maybe you heard about it. So let's show you. So Secure Productive Enterprise, this is a subscription that ties together a whole bunch of the things that we've been talking about. So it puts it together in a nice, easy-to-consume package. I'm not trying to sell this to you. I'm just saying, have a look. If some of the things that we've been talking about were of interest, it may be more cost-efficient to actually buy that as a bundle. I'm trying to save you some money here. So for example, we've got this, and this goes live, I think it's the 1st of October. So you can't actually get this today, so I don't think all the pricing is up yet. That's how fresh we are this week. This actually goes live October the 1st, I think, and allows you to get an Office subscription, Office 365 subscription, Enterprise Mobility that we've talked about, and also Windows 10 Enterprise. So that's actually not a bad pathway for you folks if you're still on Windows 7, Windows 8.1, to actually jump up and to start leveraging the things that we've talked about all as one. Okay? Have a look. It's kind of not even out yet, but I wanted to show you this because it could well be something to go back and think about at work or talk to your customers about as a way for them to get in on all of this technology, but to almost like open it up all in one go. I don't know the pricing, but let's watch this space. I think this could be a very compelling skew for a lot of people rather than, and I think this is tied up thinking now. I'm seeing this now more and more where we've had these individual silos of technology we talked about at the start. On their own, fantastic. Azure, love it. Intune, love it. Office 365, fantastic. Have we really actually thought about, as IT pros, how all of that knits together? And I don't think Microsoft really have either. But now it seems like they're getting in on that too. So let's start putting all this together here as a way of wrapping this up. Hopefully what you've learned here is each piece of technology has something to offer. Everything that we've talked about, Office 365, Azure, Windows 10, Intune, they all have something to offer, which I think are compelling in their own right. But it's that better together proposition. It's how we knit those services together, how we leverage it. And you're perhaps not going to use everything that we've talked about here. Maybe you don't want to do MFA. Maybe you don't want to do federation. That's fine. There's still an awful lot you can wring out of the investment of those services that we've talked about that will actually give you something to take back. So here's my call to action. There are several things that if you haven't used them, I want you to look into here. The cloud features of Windows 10. Make yourself more aware of them. And I don't mean things like account integration. That's fine. We're going a step beyond that. We're not looking at Cortana. That's great. We love that. But I'm thinking more about the business sides of things. The MDM integration. The Windows Store for Business. Things that utilize those more enterprise features. Have a look into more of those. Because I don't think all of us exploit those. Have a look at Intune. If you haven't tried it out, and a lot of you have, I was great, you know, pleased to see that. If you haven't tried that out, you can get a free trial. You can set something up like I've done, and I'll show you how if you want to stick behind afterwards and see how I did it. It's not difficult to get ramped up on that. You can just do it on a 30-day trial. No obligation, no credit card. It's all easy to use. The one thing I don't think people make enough of out of all of these things is Azure Active Directory. For a lot of folks, that's still pretty new. Who's using Active Directory, Azure Active Directory Premium? Oh, wow, about half of you. Again, I didn't expect that. So about half the people here, that's amazing. For the rest of you, have a look at that. You can get a free trial on that as well. It's kind of one of those no obligation, try it out. If you don't like it, do nothing. It just disappears off your subscription. It's no problem. But you can try that out, which will give you more of the multi-factor authentication, the self-service password reset that we've talked about, which is really good for end users. It adds something extra to the table. So it's almost like layer upon layer here. It depends on how high you want that stack to be. Okay, so go try out the trial. If you can, set up the EMS trial. I did a certification talk on Sunday, and we were talking about this a lot because actually, yeah, you can get these individually, but the EMS trial kind of covers everything off in one. You've got the Intune, you've got the Azure AD subscription, premium subscription. Try all of those out, add that onto an Office 365 account, and you've kind of got the best of everything there. So we've got some time left for questions. There's a couple of mics at the front and at the back. Do we have any questions? Tumbleweed. Very quiet. Yes, sir.
So with having, if you have a lot of field users, like we've described, you know, that's the perfect case for a scenario where you don't have infrastructure, you've got a particular customer in mind. What kind of controls do we have with the policies? Because I need granular control, like group policy type control, to lock down these machines for end users who don't necessarily take care of their machines well. Is that type of granularity available in the policies that we can push down through these tools?
So the question is, you know, what kind of granularity of control do we have for our devices? So you're thinking of this lack of on-premises infrastructure, going mm-hmm. to that cloud-only model. So were you talking about just with Intune or without or either?
Really, what would give me the ability to apply group policy level
controls? Great question. So back here into Intune, let's have a look at that because that's quite a nice area to look at. We've got a whole bunch of policies. Just get this up here. Nope. If I can get my screen back. Here we go. Sorry for the wait. Yeah, so we've got a whole depth of policies for mobile device management, but Windows gets called out with the most things specifically. So let's just let it load. Here we go. So I'll just mention a few of these areas. Conditional access. This is another hook into Office 365, actually. I'm kind of glad you asked me about this because the range of policies we've got are pretty awesome. The first one here is conditional access. This is allowing you to set up a bunch of policies to say whether or not a device can actually touch Office 365 in the first place. So if you're thinking of, I've got my client computers out in the field, I can't touch them, I don't really know what's going on, okay, maybe I get some reports in Intune, but I don't know right now, as this user logs on today, at this minute, is that computer compliant enough to be able to touch these online services and therefore be trusted to consume that data as well? So you can configure things like a conditional access policy, okay? And the computer, if it does not meet this policy, it won't be able to touch SharePoint, or it won't be able to touch Skype for Business or Exchange Online. So that's one area of policy that you've got. Something that I use quite a bit are configuration policies. So some of this is generic across different platforms, so you've got Android, iOS, but if we drill down to Windows here, there's a whole range of things that we can send down to them. It could be something simple like a VPN profile. You can create this, deploy it out through the Intune agent, and they'll get a corporate VPN connection configured on their device without needing to touch anything at all. Let's go back to compliance. Okay. Okay? Compliance is great for looking at device security and device health. We've got a health facility built into Windows 10 natively. We used to have NAP. I don't know if you ever remember NAP from Windows 7, Windows 8.1. That's kind of gone. We've got health attestation now in Windows 10 built in. But we can do some health checks on the system here to look at things like, is the password on the device strong enough? We could have somebody's device here, which is their own personal device, or one of those choose your own device scenarios where it's not domain joined, it's not configured by group policy at all. We could manage that here. So this is not a substitute for group policy. It's different to that. You know, if you're transitioning from the on-premises world, one of the things you're going to lose out on is group policy. And, you know, I love that stuff. This is not quite a like for like, but there are similarities here for you to explore. Okay? There's nothing like the 4,500 settings you get in GPO, unfortunately. But we're more worried about security, health of the device. Should this device be allowed to connect to our systems, which ultimately might well be cloud-based systems? Does that help? Yeah, okay. We can talk more later on if you want. There was another person who had a question. I think he sat down. Yes, sir.
I think you started to answer it there, but I was just wondering, what are, like, at a high level, the main differences between being able to manage your device as part of a domain managed desktop, laptop, et cetera, versus using something like this? And it kind of seems like Microsoft is going this direction. Do you think that ultimately this will, in 5 years, be the way to manage desktops and laptops in an environment?
That's a good question. So yeah, just to repeat that for those that didn't hear. So it seems like a lot of this is evolving. It seems like this could be a replacement, effectively. I'm paraphrasing you a little bit. Could this be a replacement for our on-premises group policy and other pieces of infrastructure? Right now, it's not the same. It's not intended to be. Some of the areas we've just been looking at here, in fact, with policy, are specifically around the circumstance of the machines that we're looking at. Well, these are remote machines. They're not in the office. Security is a concern. Those are where we have the most configuration here. Could we be getting there in 5 years? Now, if I was a betting person, would I take that bet that in 5 years we would all abandon Active Directory on-premises? Probably not. But are we moving more towards this direction? Absolutely. I've seen this evolve. Like I said, I've been using, for example, Intune since it came out. It's changed quite a lot, and it's based on typically larger enterprises. The people that want to drive the feature change here are the big enterprises who say, this is great, but I'm missing this. Give me that, and I'll go for Intune. And so Microsoft have done that. The definite shift in not necessarily completely getting away from Active Directory on-premises, because that is great in its own right, but we are starting to get to a more mature level with Azure AD, with Intune policies, where we can almost make that use case, I think, in the office to say, some computers, this suits it better for. All computers, maybe not right now. The traditional bricks and mortar company might have a hard time justifying that. But I think we're moving more towards that. Would it be 5 years? You know, a lot can change in 5 years. It has already, but. For smaller companies, they're much more better place for doing that, I think. A smaller company has more to gain immediately. A bigger company, it's a larger ship to turn around in the ocean. It takes a long while. It's probably not going to happen in 3 or 4 years for those folks. It might be more like 5 to 10 year space. But yeah, I could see it happening that way. I could see this is a bigger question about on-premises full stop. You know, a friend of mine, he works for Microsoft. His view is, in 10 years, we won't have any servers on-premises all up. Now, whether that's true for everybody. But yeah, I think so. The great thing about this, it's a cloud-based service. So next month, there could be a whole range of options that aren't there today. That's a constantly evolving service. That's what I like about it. I'm not sure if I'll take your bet, though. All right. Yes, sir.
Question on MDM enrollment. It seems like there's some confusion in that there's two ways to enroll. There's the client way.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then there's the native way. It seems that there are some things in the native way that you can do with Windows 10 devices for configuring modern apps and all that stuff that you can't do with the agent. And there's things you can do with the agent that you can't do, such as Windows updates and other things you can't do with the native enrollment. Do you have any comment on that and kind of looking ahead of you do something now and then you're having to change the approach later?
Yeah, good question. So the question is, MDM has some great features. We've got the native client experience that we showed you. We showed you how that responded. They are slightly different. It is a bit confusing. I see exactly where you're coming from. The confusion is because Intune can handle both, we can actually have a mixture. We can have some clients where we've installed the Intune client onto, and some where we've just used MDM for. And some of those that we're using MDM for might not even be Windows devices. They could be Android, they could be iOS, but they could also be Windows devices as well, maybe mobile devices, or in fact just regular PCs. So you've kind of got a choice. For some devices, it's going to be better to use the MDM authority in Intune to manage those. If you've got the luxury, if you will, of having Windows 10, you can choose either. It slightly depends on the circumstance, but given the choice, if I had a Windows 10 device, I would install the agent onto it, because I think that gives me for what I do, that gives me the best level of control, ease of deploying applications, reporting the telemetry we talked about. I think that's pretty good for that, but it's not a like for like. I don't think there's a need to converge those. If anyone's thinking about that, are they gonna converge the two? At this time, I don't see that happening. It's a different level of access. Try both, you'll see what I mean. If you have two Windows machines, enroll one for MDM, install the Intune client on the other. It's a different experience. Now, you can still manage it under one roof here, but it's a slightly different bunch of settings that we're controlling on the device in each case. Can the native MDM control endpoints? I don't think so. I'd have to check. Endpoint protection is really tied in with the agent install, so you wouldn't really have that natively anyway. You only get that automatically by installing the client agent. So if you want the centralized reporting of the malware stuff, you want to go for the agent for sure. Yeah.
Can you enroll something both ways?
Can you enroll something both ways? Ooh, I've never tried it. I've never. You can? No, I've never tried. It's one or the other, because it depends on, can the device be managed this way? Do I prefer to manage it by putting the agent on there, or is MDM the right way to go? MDM's kind of a more lightweight way of doing things. You don't need to install anything on the client. It's much easier that way, and it's also easier to detach when you're done as well. If you want to take that device away and say, the user's left the company, it's their own personal device, so they want to detach it at that point, it's quite easy to cut that off and say, that's no longer managed by MDM. And we can even do a selective wipe at that point and say, let's take off any corporate stuff that we put on there so they have that computer back as it was before. So that's kind of attractive in a lot of use cases. Yeah.
I have a question, I guess, kind of about Intune versus, I'm a configuration manager guy, and my company is in the process of federating our domain with Azure.
Yep.
AD. And I'm just wondering what, so, we're kind of, you know, trying to approach, you know, a cloud going forward model, and I also, you know, want to use the right tools. So I'm just confused about what I should be. Should I be looking at how to get Configuration Manager into the cloud, because that's supported in a very limited sense now? They support like a single site in there. We're going to have servers in there. How do I manage those servers? I can't manage servers with Intune, right? What should I do? Is SCCM going to slowly be superseded by Intune?
Oh, okay, good question. Right, so the good news is you can do both. You can have some clients enrolled to Intune and some clients managed by SCCM. So I wouldn't take away my SCCM infrastructure. I'm a big fan of SCCM. I teach that technology. I think it's awesome. You know, the thing is, Intune and SCCM are, you know, cousins, really. They share a lot of the same technology. So they're not the same, but you can actually bolt the two together.
Yeah.
And you can manage it through a single pane, which is the good news. So you can take the Intune data that your clients that are connected to that, and you can actually pipe that through into Configuration Manager and have a hybrid. So I wouldn't necessarily abandon a Config Manager at all. I would actually look at managing it on a hybrid basis. But you can do it all through Configuration Manager tools.
Is it going to be easier, I know the Configuration Manager presentation, but is it going to be easier for me to use Configuration Manager to manage things in the cloud, like servers? Because right now it's very much an on-prem technology, right?
Configuration Manager is more of an on-prem technology, that's right. If you've got servers in the cloud, that's okay. They can still be Configuration Manager clients.
Yes.
Yes, it might sound odd, but that's perfectly okay. Intune wouldn't really be suitable for servers. You know, this is more targeted at client computers. But of course, clients and servers are not that much different to one another. But for a server that you've got running in IaaS in Azure, is that what you're talking about? Yeah, so then I would have no hesitation about using that as a configuration manager client and have it talking back to site systems that you've got that are on premises. Connecting that back over the internet is fully supported. You can absolutely do that. Yep. So keep as you are, keep hybrid, in other words. But keep in mind that the Intune is really designed around client, Windows 10 client rather than servers, really. I guess you could install it on servers. It's just given the choice, what you've described, then configuration manager would be best. Okay. No props? Okay, so I'm going to wrap up at this point. Happy to take more questions at the end. I just want to point out one thing. There is a related session that I'm delivering later on this afternoon, which is all about Windows 10 and how we install it. So we're looking specifically here about upgrade as a route forwards rather than clean install. So if that's of interest, come and find me later at 3:15. So thank you very much for your time. Please evaluate the sessions. I know you get told that every time, but it is important to us. We do get a lot of feedback and get to know what works, what doesn't. So please take the time and fill out the eval. And thank you very much for your time, folks.